On the old brick road, after all.
No, they're dwarfs, Thistle said. Look, they're holding axes, and there are seven of them.
Is anyone else worried that they're holding axes?
Sam asked.
I'm not thrilled with it,
Landon said.
Everyone be ready to run if it becomes necessary. Just be careful.
We slowly approached the dwarves, and I pasted a bright smile on my face as we drew close. Hi, who are you guys?
Way to not make this awkward, sweetie,
Landon said.
Just forego all those little conversational pleasantries that make people more comfortable around strangers.
I thought you were in a hurry.
I still don't want to tick the little guys with the axes off,
Landon said.
Now, get behind me.
I rolled my eyes.
We're not little guys,
the first dwarf said.
We're dwarves.
We figured that out,
Thistle said.
What gave it away?
The axes.
That usually does it,
the dwarf said.
I guess I should introduce us.
That would be great, I said.
Wait, let me guess,
Thistle said.
You're grumpy.
Well, it hasn't been a great day, but I'm not grumpy.
I thought that was your name,
Thistle said, disappointed.
No, my name is Flip.
Flip?
Flip.
Ha, huh,
Thistle said.
I don't remember this part of the story.
Flip ignored her.
This is Kip, Trip, Skip, Pip, Whip, and Bud.
Well, that sounded fun.
Bud?
Thistle asked.
Your mother couldn't think of one more name that ended with Ip?
Apparently not,
Flip said.
It's been a lifelong embarrassment for Bud. He doesn't talk much.
I studied Bud for a moment. He doesn't look happy with his lot in life.
Would you be happy with our lot in life?
Flip asked.
We spend 12 hours a day digging in mines, and we don't even get paid for it.
So stop doing it,
Thistle said.
We can't,
Flip said.
We're dwarves. That's what we do.
The rest of his brothers nodded in enthusiastic agreement. Landon cleared his throat.
So, is there a reason you're hanging around the yellow brick road? We're waiting for someone,
Flip said.
Who? Snow White.
I told you, I crowed.
You're the smartest woman in the world, sweetie,
Landon said, refusing to let me slide out of the arm cage he built around me to corral me.
Do you know what Snow White looks like?
Sam asked. Flip nodded.
Do you know when she's supposed to get here? She's already here,
Flip said.
Oh, this is going to be bad,
Thistle said.
Does anyone remember whether the dwarves gangbang Snow White and Aunt Tilly's story? I'm really worried about that for some reason.
We're not sexual deviants. We just need her to clean our cabin and sing while we're at work.
Sing?
Sing.
Which one of us do you think is Snow White?
A nervous Clove asked. Since she was the only one with dark hair, we all expected it to be her. Flip grinned at her.
Oil, come home.
Oh, no way, Clove shouted. I just spent 2 hours in a tower waiting for someone to climb my hair. I'm absolutely not turning myself into a maid and singing.
You have to,
Flip said.
That's what you do.
Well, I'm not going to do it,
Clove said.
I'm drawing the line. I'm done. This fairy tale world sucks.
It does suck,
Landon said.
Listen, I have an idea who the rest of you are, but we need to claim our Snow White before it gets too late,
Flip said.
Yeah, we want dinner,
Trip said.
We haven't had a decent meal in 10 years.
How did you know to wait here for Snow White? I asked.
The crone told us.
What crone?
The one in the black dress and the hood with the red apple,
Flip said.
She said Snow White was coming and we would wait here until she crossed our path. We've been here a long time.
How long?
Couple hours.
I rubbed the back of my neck, weary. Does anyone have any suggestions? I asked. It's not as if we can let Clove go with the dwarves.
If that story plays out, she's going to eat a poison apple and then land in a glass coffin.
Yeah, I'd really rather not die,
Clove said.
We need to move this along, Landon said. Guys, here's the thing. You can't have Snow White. I don't know what this crone told you, and I'm really curious what she looks like because I'm picturing a tiny woman with a round face and evil eyes. How did you know that?
Flip asked.
Just a lucky guess,
Landon said, grimacing. He described Aunt Tilly. Had she really based some of the characters in the book on herself? That made sense. She always thought she was the center of all of our worlds.
The thing is, the crone's information is outdated, Landon said, and I could practically see his mind working. It seems Snow White can't do any manual labor until her contract is settled. What contract?
Yeah, what contract? Clove asked.
Landon shot her a quelling look.
Snow White joined a union. No way,
Flip said.
Is that even allowed? It's a new world, man,
Landon said.
She's on strike until the contract is settled. When is that going to happen?
Flip asked.
We really need a maid.
I suggest hiring the crone, I said. She's great with a broom and a cackle.
And she sings like a dream,
Thistle said.
This one over here is tone deaf.
I am not,
Clove protested.
I have a beautiful singing voice.
Since when?
Thistle asked, laughing.
You're so off-key, you scare small children and household pets.
That's not true,
Clove said.
Bay, tell her it's not true.
I worried my lip with my bottom teeth, unsure how to progress. The truth was, Clove wasn't a terrible singer. She was awful. Thistle wasn't exaggerating. There's nothing worse than someone who thinks they can sing when they really can't. Usually I go out of my way to spare Clove's feelings, especially at times like this, but we needed the dwarves to give up their maid quest.
When you sing, you sound like the frog Thistle had to kiss, I said.
Clove crossed her arms over her chest, jutting out her lower lip.
You're dead to me.
We were all going to be dead to each other if we didn't get out of this book.
You'll live.
I'm not sure I believe you guys,
Flip said.
Can we hear this alleged bad singing?
Sure, I said. Clove balked.
But I need time to warm up. I need a piano to accompany me. I need my karaoke machine.
We don't have any of that, I said.
And we're in a bit of a time crunch here,
Landon added.
Just sing, scare them, and get it over with. I don't want to spend any more time here than we have to.
I'm not going to scare them,
Clove said.
If I sing, they're all going to fall in love with me. Isn't that right, Sam?
Sam looked trapped.
I happen to find your singing cute,
he said.
I especially like it when you do it in the shower.
Thistle snorted.
I'm guessing that's because you're naked, Clove.
Shut up,
Clove said.
You're dead to me, too.
Just sing, I said. Pick a song and wow them. Prove us all wrong. You know that's what you want to do.
What are you doing? Landon murmured. What happens if she can really sing?
She can't.
What if the curse made it so she can sing?
I hadn't thought of that. Uh-oh. I opened my mouth to stop Clove from belting out a Broadway tune. I just knew we had a rendition of Memory in our future, but it was too late. Clove began to sing, her eyes wide and her chest puffed out. It was her proudest moment. And then the birds started complaining, loudly. A couple of them even swooped down in an attack formation. The deer in the field next to the dwarfs bounded away. The rabbits in the nearby bush tried to burrow beneath it to drown her out. Then the dwarfs started groaning and covering their ears. Clove broke off, flummoxed.
What's wrong?
Flip arched an eyebrow.
We believe you,
he said.
Keep her on strike. I'd rather live in filth than live with that.
What are you talking about?
Clove was incensed.
I could be on American Idol.
You could,
Thistle said, patting her shoulder.
You could be on those first few episodes where they let the really bad singers in so they can laugh at them.
I really hate you,
Clove said. When we glanced back at the yellow brick road, the dwarves were gone. They opted to beat a hasty retreat while we were distracted. It was probably for the best. Landon released his grip on me, finally allowing a small smile to play at the corner of his lips.
This is just so messed up.
Aren't you glad I don't sing? I sound worse than her.
Sweetie, if we get out of this, I'll listen to you sing every day for the rest of my life,
Landon said. That was kind of sweet.
I'll just put headphones on and watch you dance naked or something.
His sweetness comes and goes.
Let's get moving,
Landon said.
I have a feeling we have a few more fairy tales to go through before we can say the end.
I had a feeling he was right.
If you're going to cry wolf,
You'd better hope there's really a wolf there. Oh, and if there's a wolf, kick it really hard in its special place before you run. Wolves are faster than little girls.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
9.
I don't care what anyone says,
Clove said.
I can sing. The curse must have made me sound horrible or something.
I'm sure it was,
Sam said, rubbing her back lightly as he directed her down the pathway.
You sound like an angel when you sing.
It's probably good you're not Pinocchio right now,
Thistle said.
Your nose would be about 5 feet long if you were.
Shut up, Thistle, Sam grumbled. Why do you always have to be so you?
Thistle frowned, her forehead furrowing.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Everyone shifted their attention to her, surprised.
Oh, don't do that,
Thistle said.
I'm well aware of how annoying I can be. I'm really trying not to say everything that crosses my mind, but it's not that easy.
It's not easy for any of us,
Landon said.
We have to keep moving forward. We don't have a lot of options here. We have to get to the end of the book, and to do that, we can't kill each other. Speaking of that, do you think we die in the real world if we die in this story?
Marcus asked. I'd been wondering that myself. I don't know, I said. I'd like to think Aunt Tilly wouldn't risk our lives unnecessarily, but she was really ticked off last night.
She wouldn't risk our lives,
Chloe said.
I know she wouldn't.
What if she didn't realize she did?
Thistle asked.
We don't know where her mind was when she cast the curse. I mean, this has all the elements of being well thought out, but she had to cast it on the fly.
Maybe it's something she had in her back pocket for a long time, I suggested. Maybe she came up with the idea years ago, but decided she can finally utilize it. That sounds like something she would do.
It does,
Thistle conceded.
The amount of thought she put into this, though, it's just amazing.
I always thought she liked me,
Marcus said.
I never thought I would make it onto her list.
If it's any consolation, I don't think you made it on her list, I said. I think Landon was on her list, and I think she knew she was going to have to distract Thistle, Clove, and me. But I think you and Sam were included because she needed an even number of princesses and princes.
That was one of her complaints about fairy tales,
Thistle said.
She didn't understand why princesses were considered heroines when their only goal seemed to be snagging a man.
Landon barked out a hoarse laugh.
I guess I never thought about it that way. There are fairy tales that don't involve coupling up, though.
I think Aunt Tilly just wanted us to shut up when we were kids,
Thistle said.
Clove went through a princess phase, but Bay and I never did. Bay went through a stuffed animal phase, and I preferred Legos. It's not as if we were walking around dreaming about princes.
And yet you got them,
Marcus teased, poking her in the ribs.
We did,
Thistle said, tilting her head to one side and rubbing her forehead.
Do you have a headache?
Marcus asked, worried.
I'm just exhausted,
Thistle said.
We only got a couple of hours of sleep before the curse hit, and it feels like we've been at this for hours. How long do you think it's been?
I shrugged. I had no idea.
I'm guessing between 4 and 5 hours, Landon said. Without any changes in the sky, though, it's really hard to tell. I never realized how much I use the sun to gauge the time of day.
I use the clock on my cell phone,
Clove said.
I think the lack of sun is throwing off our internal clocks,
Landon said.
I don't think that's the only thing,
Thistle said.
I feel as if I have PMS.
Marcus, Sam, and Landon made identical, horrified faces.
That's not supposed to happen for 2 weeks,
Landon said.
I marked it on my calendar.
That's disturbing, I said.
You three are disturbing when you're feeling moody together,
Landon said.
If I can keep you away from these two, you're fine. Well, you're not fine, but you're tolerable. If you three get together, though, good night. It's like the end of the world.
Bring me some ice cream,
Sam said, mimicking Clove's voice to perfection.
My back hurts,
Marcus said.
My pants are too tight, Landon said.
I narrowed my eyes and put my hands on my hips. Is that how I sound to you? Landon grinned.
Sometimes.
Well, you don't have to worry about me ever talking to you again then, I muttered.
And here we go with the mood swings,
Landon said.
This night just keeps getting worse. Every time I think it's not possible.
Thistle scowled.
I didn't mean that it's that time of the month, she said. I mean that I can't seem to control my emotions. One second I'm fine. I wouldn't say I'm comfortable or happy, but I'm not panicking or anything. The next second, it's as if every bad impulse I've ever had just takes over.
I know the feeling, I said. I felt like crying for absolutely no reason a few minutes ago.
What were you thinking about?
Clove asked.
I was going to cry a few minutes ago, too, but I know why I was going to do it.
Because we made fun of your singing, Thistle said.
Exactly.
I don't know, I said. I don't want to sit here and dissect everything. I'm so tired. I just want to be back in my bed. I want to rub my feet against Landon's and listen to him sleep. That sounds like the best thing in the world right now. Landon arched an eyebrow.
You listen to me sleep?
Don't let it inflate your ego, I said. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, it's the sound of your breathing that lulls me right back to sleep. I can't explain it.
I do the same thing, sweetie,
Landon said, tightening his grip on my hand.
I would seriously buy Aunt Tilly a new snowplow if we could only get out of this book.
I don't think it's going to be that easy, I said. We have to keep walking.
Oh, we should sing a song to make the trip go faster,
Clove suggested.
I can start.
No! Help!
Did you hear that? Landon asked.
20 minutes later, we were still walking down the path in morose silence. Clove was pouting about the singing, I was pouting about my deep thoughts, and Thistle, well, she was pouting because she felt like it. I think the men were happy for the conversational reprieve.
Did someone scream for help? Yeah, it was hard to miss,
Thistle replied dryly.
Help!
Landon glanced at me.
Are we going to ignore that?
I worried my bottom lip, unsure. I think we have to find our way to the end of the path. This is probably just a way to delay us.
Help, please!
Landon pressed his eyes shut, trying to block out the voice.
Help!
I can't ignore that, he said. I'm supposed to help people.
I let go of his hand. This was clearly his fairy tale puzzle to solve.
Go.
Landon bolted off the path and into the night, racing down a hill and disappearing into a grove of trees.
Should we follow him?
Thistle asked. Yeah, I don't want to risk being separated.
He's going to wish he'd stayed on the path,
Clove said.
He's going to be angry with himself.
I know, I said. He can't listen to someone ask for help and not offer it, though. It's not in him. Let's go. We followed Landon down the embankment and through the trees. The cries for help ceased, but somehow I knew which direction to go. I found Landon standing in the middle of a field, a herd of sheep happily munching grass around him, and fixed him with a quizzical look. Who was screaming? Landon shifted so I could see the young boy standing next to him. The boy was small, his skin pale, his gangly limbs gesturing emphatically as he pointed at the field. Who are you? I asked.
Daniel,
the boy said, flashing me an impish grin. What are you doing out here, Daniel? I asked, forcing my face to reflect welcome, even though my stomach was churning. Landon may need to save people, but I sensed right away that something else was going on here.
I'm watching the sheep,
Daniel said.
Do they do tricks?
Thistle asked.
No way,
Daniel said.
They just munch and dump.
That's a nice visual, Thistle said, causing me to crack a real smile. She clearly didn't trust him either.
Should you be out here alone at night?
Landon asked, his cop face in place.
Where are your parents?
They're at home,
Daniel replied.
Watching the sheep is my job.
You're awfully young to have a job,
Landon said.
Landon, this isn't the real world,
Thistle reminded him.
No one is running afoul of child labor laws.
Landon ignored her.
Don't you think it's dangerous to be out here?
Not really,
Daniel said, unruffled.
The only thing dangerous out here is the wolf.
Wolf? Oh, crap. I had a feeling I knew which story we were in. It was the one Aunt Tilly always warned us about as children when we started screaming and tattling on one another. Landon.
It's huge,
Daniel said, his eyes sparkling.
It's like 8 feet tall, and it walks on its hind legs, and it steals sheep if I don't watch out for it.
And your parents think it's safe for you to be out here watching the sheep even though there's a wolf on the prowl?
Landon didn't look convinced.
We make our money off the sheep, Daniel explained. They have to be watched. That's my job.
I think I should talk to your parents,
Landon said. That's not part of the story, I said. His parents have nothing to do with this tale.
And what tale is that?
Landon asked, shifting his eyes to me.
He's the boy who cried wolf.
Landon furrowed his brow, confused.
You're saying he's making it up?
It's one of Aunt Tilly's favorite stories, Thistle said. She always accused us of doing it when we were kids.
I hated the conflicted look on Landon's face. He believed us, and yet the idea of leaving a child out in the field to fend for himself didn't sit right with him.
How can you be sure the wolf isn't real? There are wolves in fairy tales all the time.
There are, I conceded. Even if it is real, though, this is still just a story. This isn't real.
I'm real, Daniel said. I'm right here.
I smiled at him kindly. I know. I think you should probably call it a night, though, and go back home. That would be best for everyone.
What about the sheep?
I'm sure they'll still be here in the morning, I said. Hopefully we wouldn't be here to make sure.
I can't, Daniel said. It's my job to watch the sheep.
I still want to talk to your parents,
Landon said.
Where are they?
I already told you, Daniel said. They're home.
Landon, we don't have time to walk miles to this kid's house and have a deep discussion about parental obligations with them, I said. That's not why we're here.
Isn't this my tale?
I nodded.
Then I'm going to talk to his parents.
I wanted to shake him back to his senses. Instead, I turned to Marcus for support. If Landon was going to listen to anyone, it would be him. Marcus, what do you think we should do? The grim set of Marcus's jaw told me he wasn't thrilled with the question.
I don't like the idea of the kid being out here alone either.
I shook my head, frustrated, but Marcus cut me off.
But we're not here for this. It's another distraction. We need to get back to the road and keep going. We're wasting time here.
Landon tightened his grip on Daniel's shoulder.
I know you're right. It's just, it feels wrong.
I understood why Landon was the one drawn into this tale. It was something I often worried about where he was concerned. He cared more than any person should, or feasibly could, when it came to the safety of others. He was overcome by the need to save everyone. I reached out to him tentatively. Instead of pulling away, as I feared he would, though, he grabbed my hand and took a step away from Daniel.
Try to stay safe,
Landon said. Daniel rolled his eyes.
I'm always safe.
Watch the sheep, Thistle said. That's your job, and you need to do your job.
I know,
Daniel said. Landon let me lead him away, and we were almost through the trees when his belief in me came crashing down.
Wolf! Help! Wolf! It's going to eat me!
Landon jerked his hand from mine and turned, running back in the direction of Daniel's screams. I didn't hesitate to follow him, and when we returned to the field, Daniel was standing right where we left him. He was alone, other than the munching and dumping sheep, of course.
Where's the wolf?
Landon asked, scanning the field.
I saw him for only a second. He had glowing red eyes and fangs that were this big,
said Daniel, spreading his arms wide for emphasis.
He was going to eat me.
Landon exhaled heavily before turning back to face me.
You were right.
It's not about being right, I said. This is the world Aunt Tilly created. We could leave this field 100 times. Each one of those times is going to try to stop us by screaming and carrying on about wolves. We're never going to see a wolf, not in this tale.
I'm sorry, Landon said. I should have left.
You're not the type of person who abandons someone, I said. Even when you didn't know me, you never abandoned me. I seem to keep forgetting that. You got shot for me, and you had no idea what kind of person I was. I know you want to save everyone, I said. That's not happening here, though.
I know, Landon said, weary. Let's get moving. I'm sure there are other horrors waiting around the next bend.
That's something to look forward to, I teased.
It is,
Landon agreed, grabbing my hand. We were almost back to the trees when Daniel decided to speak again.
Wait, you're not going to leave me here at the wolf, are you?
I guess so,
Landon replied, refusing to turn around.
Try to stay safe, kid.
But Daniel didn't finish whatever he was about to say. Instead, he let loose with a blood-curdling scream. Even though I knew it was a game, I couldn't stop myself from turning around. Instead of Daniel's mischievous smile, though, I saw his look of terror as a large monster descended on the boy.
Holy crap!
Landon whipped around, stunned. The wolf paid us no heed, instead grabbing Daniel around the waist and hoisting him over his shoulder. Daniel was right. This was no normal wolf. It walked on two legs and its eyes were human. They were full of malevolence, although they weren't glowing in red, but they were still human.
Help me!
Daniel screamed, pounding on the wolf's back. We couldn't do anything but stand there, though. We were frozen in place, and we watched the wolf carry Daniel into the woods. Just like that, he was gone.
If a wolf can fool you by putting on a nightcap and glasses, you've got bigger problems than the wolf. That also means you're either blind or stupid. I'd rather fight a wolf than be stupid.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 10.
What just happened here? I was at a loss for words.
What just happened here?
Landon repeated, turning to face off with me.
You said there was no wolf. That looked like a wolf to me.
Calm down,
Marcus said, pushing between Landon and me. It was a useless move. Landon would never put his hands on me, but his face was so red with anger, I didn't blame Marcus for being worried.
We all saw he was the boy who cried wolf. What are you doing?
Landon asked, looking Marcus up and down.
Do you really think I'm going to hurt her? I'm worried that you seem a little intense,
Marcus said. Landon faltered.
I would never hurt her. I know, man,
Marcus said, taking a step back.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I thought that.
It's this place, Thistle said. The longer we're here, the more it's messing with us. Aunt Tilly knew what she was doing when she cast the curse.
It's only the worst parts of ourselves that are coming out now, I said, wrapping my hand around Landon's wrist briefly. When I moved to pull it away, he placed his other hand over it and held it there. We're taking on characteristics of the story characters themselves now.
When did you figure that out? Clove asked.
I don't know, I said. I've been thinking about it for a little while, I guess. It's the only reason I feel as if I'm going to start crying. Aunt Tilly always said the women in most fairy tales were weak. I think it's also the reason Thistle is getting grumpier as we go on, I continued. She's turning into a villain.
Is that what's happening to me?
Landon asked, worried. I don't know, I said. The men in the stories are different. There's more room for conflict. I mean, think about it. Snow White, Cinderella, Rapunzel, all of them. What do they have in common?
They're all good, Clove said.
They're also weak, I said. Snow White doesn't save herself. The prince does. Cinderella doesn't tell her stepmother and stepsisters where to stick it because the prince saves her. Rapunzel sits in that tower for years waiting for a man to save her. All they do is sit around and wait for someone to save them. Landon moved his hand from mine and pulled me closer to him, resting his face against the side of my head.
I don't know what to think about that.
I think the curse is latching on to certain parts of our personality, I said. That's why Thistle is getting grumpier. That's why Clove is getting whinier. That's why I'm getting more uncertain. The longer we're here, the more our personalities are going to change.
This is such crap,
Landon said, pressing a quick kiss to my forehead.
I'm going to have to kill your Aunt Tilly. You know that, right?
That's probably why you're turning into a villain, like me,
Thistle said. We need to keep moving, I said. Any detours we take, we need to make a plan and get through them.
Are we leaving that kid to be eaten by a wolf?
Landon asked. He's not real, I said. He's not being eaten. He's not feeling pain. He's a fictional character.
Okay,
Landon said, giving in.
Let's keep moving.
As everyone turned to file back to the path, Landon kept me close.
I can't turn into a villain, he murmured.
You won't, I said. I have faith. You're just emotionally charged right now.
I feel out of control.
We all feel out of control.
I would never hurt you, Bay,
Landon said.
You know that, right?
I know that.
Marcus didn't seem to,
Landon said bitterly.
Marcus is dealing with the same thing we are, I said.
Do you think he's becoming a villain?
I shook my head. He's too mellow. I think the only reason some of that stuff is starting to happen to you is because you're strong
and bossy. You're bossy, too.
Not like you and Thistle. Things will only get worse before they get better, I said.
I love you, Bay,
Landon said earnestly. I love you, too.
I'm still going to kill your Aunt Tilly.
We're all going to kill her,
Thistle called from the front of the formation.
You're going to have to get in line.
I am the line,
Landon replied.
No way. Oh, come on, Thistle said. Get up here.
Landon and I increased our pace, and when we walked out of the woods, we found a red cape hanging from a tree branch next to the path. Everything else was the same except for the new clothing item.
Red Riding Hood,
Marcus said, looking the cape up and down.
What do you think? Should we leave it here and keep going?
No, I said, an idea forming. Thistle needs to put it on.
Why me?
Thistle whined. Because you're becoming a villain, I said. You need to be the hero again to ward off those inner urges of yours.
Are you sure?
No, I admitted. It's just a feeling.
Her feelings have been right so far,
Landon said.
Put it on. Maybe it will lead us to the wolf and Daniel.
Thistle scowled.
If I get eaten by a wolf, I swear I'm going to come back and haunt you for the rest of your lives.
She grabbed the cloak and swung it over her shoulders, tying it around her neck before planting her feet on the brick road.
Bring it on, wolf!
I swallowed my upper lip with my lower to keep from laughing, risking a glance at Landon, who didn't bother hiding his smile. Thistle cocked her head to the side, waiting.
Where is it?
Maybe we have to keep walking, I said. It would be anticlimactic if the wolf simply jumped out of the woods immediately and attacked you.
I guess, Thistle said.
We picked up our trek, Thistle leading the way with Marcus close on her heels. He wasn't letting her out of his sight.
Do you think we're going to Grandma's house?
Clove asked.
This is Aunt Tilly's story, after all. Maybe we'll finally get to meet her.
I keep forgetting you guys never got a chance to meet your grandmother,
Landon said. Aunt Tilly was our grandmother, I said, although we were told if we ever called her that, we'd have our mouths glued shut for a month, and she was going to use actual glue. Landon snickered.
That sounds like her.
He was making an effort to embrace the lighter side of things right now, visions of mustache twirling dancing through his head as he fought to keep himself calm even though he really wanted to find the wolf that took Daniel and beat it to a pulp. I squeezed his hand reassuringly. You're not a villain, I said. You're a good guy. You're the best guy. He smiled.
You don't need to coddle me, Bay. I understand what's going on here and I'm determined to stop being a douche. It's going to be okay.
That's easy for you to say, Thistle said. You're not the one wearing the red cloak of death waiting for the wolf to jump out at you.
I don't think it's going to jump out at you, I said, pulling up short and fixing my attention on the cabin that had mysteriously popped up along the road seconds before. I think it's in there.
Oh, good, Thistle said. It's Grandmother's cabin.
Are we all going in together?
Clove asked, nervous. We're not separating, I said. Thistle is taking the lead, and you and Sam can take up the rear if you want. But we're all going in there.
Fine,
Clove said.
I just don't want to fight a wolf.
Don't worry, Thistle said. I think I'm going to be the one fighting the wolf.
She sucked in a breath and then veered off the road, heading straight for the cabin. When she got to the door, she paused long enough to shoot me a look.
Do I knock?
I have no idea, I said. Does proper etiquette even exist in fairy tales? The bear said I climbed right into their beds.
Good point.
Thistle turned the handle and threw open the door with as much dramatic flair as she could muster.
Grandma, I'm home!
Clove giggled.
I think she's having fun.
She certainly looked as though she was enjoying herself. Thistle stepped into the cabin boldly.
Where are you, Grandma?
The replying voice was almost comical. It sounded as if a drunken trucker was trying to play a soap opera heroine.
I'm in here, dear.
Great, Thistle said. Just hold on. I'll be right there. We followed Thistle into the cabin and watched her scan the room. Finally, she strode to the fireplace and grabbed a metal poker, testing its weight before squaring her shoulders and facing the back of the cabin. A simple sheet closed it off from the rest of the cabin. We all knew what we would find in there when Thistle pulled back the sheet.
Hit it fast, Landon whispered. Don't give it time to talk.
This is my fairy tale, Thistle said. I haven't gotten to see any animals talk yet. Let me have a little fun. The goddess knows we could use it.
Let her go, I said.
Fine, Landon said. If you take too long, though, I'm going to step in and handle things my way.
You usually do, Thistle said.
She moved to the sheet and pulled it to the side, her face a mask of faux enthusiasm when she faced the bed occupant. This world was full of odd things, but the sight of a wolf in a nightgown and nightcap, spectacles perched on its long snout, was almost more than I could take. It was like a bad sitcom. All we were missing was the laugh track.
Hi, Grandma, Thistle said. How are you today?
I'm just fine, dear, the wolf said. Although I'm a little weak, you should move closer so I can get a better look at you.
I'm good here, Thistle said. You smell like you've been in that bed for a long time, and I'm afraid of bedbugs. They freak me out.
The wolf was flummoxed.
But I want to see you.
You're not missing anything, Thistle said, glancing around the makeshift sick room. I look the same as I did the last time you saw me. I might be a little sweatier and dirtier, but pretty much the same.
I want to give you a hug, the wolf said.
I'm afraid of personal contact, so I'm going to have to pass on that, Thistle said. Hugs make me feel all wonky, like you're trying to invade my personal space. I told you that last time I was here. Don't you remember?
Well, of course, the wolf said. It's just that I like to hug.
You'll survive, Thistle said. So, Grandma, what did you do today?
I just laid in bed. That's what I usually do.
No, you don't, Thistle said, embracing her role. You usually knit for a few hours, and then you read some of those torrid bodice rippers you like so much. Oh, and you like to shave your legs while you're in bed, too. Can I see if you did that today?
The wolf frowned.
No. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Thistle asked. You don't look like the grandmother I usually visit. In fact, if I didn't know better, I would say you're an imposter.
I'm not an imposter, the wolf squeaked. I'm your grandmother.
Thistle arched an eyebrow.
Really? When's my birthday?
I forgot.
What's my mother's name?
Mom?
Close, Thistle said. Try again.
Mommy?
Okay, enough is enough, Landon said. You're wasting time. Kill it, and let's get going.
You always have to ruin my fun, Thistle grumbled.
You're the only one who's having fun.
Oh, whatever.
Thistle whipped the fireplace poker from behind her back and brandished it in front of the wolf.
Where is Daniel?
Who is Daniel? What are you going to do with that?
I'm going to stab you with it, Thistle replied.
But I'm your grandmother.
You're a wolf in a nightgown, Thistle said. Who falls for this act, by the way?
Hey, this isn't how this is supposed to go,
the wolf said, lapsing into a deeper voice and glancing around the room.
You're supposed to come in and fall for my act. You're supposed to comment on my eyes and nose. And I'm supposed to get more and more medicine. And then you're supposed to scream while I eat you.
That's not how the story ends, Thistle said. You get killed by... Who does kill the wolf in that story? Is it the woodsman?
That sounds right, I said. I don't remember.
This is all wrong,
the wolf said, shaking his head hard enough that the spectacle slipped down his snout.
You can't change the story. That's not how this works. You have to follow the script.
I don't have to do anything, Thistle said. This is my story. It became my story the second I put the cloak on. I can end it any way I want.
I want to see the author,
the wolf said, crossing his paws over his chest.
This is not the role I signed on for.
None of us signed on for this,
Thistle said, plunging the poker into the wolf's chest.
We still have to play the game.
The wolf howled the second the poker hit his chest. Instead of creating a wound, though, the poker detonated the wolf into a cloud of confetti over the bed. The cabin dissolved around us, and we were back on the yellow brick road.
"Wow," Clove said. "That was cool."
"It was also educational," I said. "That wolf knew it was in a story."
"We also found we can change the script," Thistle said. "That means we should be able to work our way through these stories a lot faster than we have been. Every storybook character we find, we just have to kill."
"I think that's taking things a little far," Landon said. "What if you could only kill the wolf because it was a villain?"
"Oh, good point," Thistle said. "Okay, new plan. Every villain we come across, we need to kill. Every hero we come across, we need to ask a few questions and then keep going. Every victim we come across, I'm sorry, Landon, we have to ignore them."
I was worried Landon would disagree, but when I turned to him, he was already nodding his head in agreement.
"That's the plan. Let's move, people. There might finally be some light at the end of this tunnel."
"Never take candy from strangers. There's probably something wrong with it. The only exception is a Snickers. Go ahead and take it then, but don't eat it. Bring it back for me, and I'll test it for you."
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
11.
"I kind of missed the cloak," Thistle said. We've been walking about 20 minutes, and instead of the pall that had been following us for what felt like hours, we were feeling markedly lighter.
"I miss food," Clove said. My stomach rumbled in agreement.
"I do too."
"I'm guessing there's no food in Fairyland,"
Landon said, rubbing his own stomach sadly.
"I would kill for a bacon cheeseburger right now."
"I wouldn't trust the food here," Thistle said. "We know the apples are poisonous."
"Maybe it's just the apples," I suggested.
"Do you want to take that chance?"
She had a point. "I guess not." We walked on for a few minutes, silent. My stomach refused to quit growling, though, and Landon's was starting to rumble in tandem with mine. "Now that Clove brought up food, that's all I can think about," I said.
"Me too," Thistle said. "If you can believe it, I swear I smell pot roast."
I sniffed the air, groaning when I realized her words carry the power of suggestion. "Now I can too. Thanks so much."
"You're not the only one," Sam said. "I think I can smell baked ham. It smells just like my mom's kitchen. She used to make a big one for Sunday dinner once a month, and then we would have something to make sandwiches with for days. It was amazing." "I smell French fries,"
Marcus said.
"Not only can I smell the fries, I can smell the salt."
I glanced at Landon. "Let me guess, you smell bacon." He smiled, rueful.
"Am I that transparent?"
"You're predictable in your love of bacon," I said. "I think, if it came down to it, you'd choose bacon over me."
"Never,"
Landon said.
"I would choose to have you wrap yourself in bacon, though."
"You're so sick."
"You're both sick," Thistle said. Hey, what's that?"
We moved to her side, our gazes sliding in the direction she pointed. What we saw was straight out of a fantasy, one we'd been living in mere seconds before.
"Is that what I think it is?"
Landon asked, leaning forward.
"It's a cottage," Clove said.
"I don't care about the cottage," Landon said. "I'm talking about the garden. It looks like it's made of food."
"Let's see," Thistle said, skipping off the road and heading toward the cottage.
"Thistle, be careful," Marcus warned. "This could be a trap."
"Of course it's a trap," Thistle said. "It's Hansel and Gretel's story."
I froze, her words bringing the old tale back to focus. "Of course."
"Hansel and Gretel were tempted by a cottage made of gingerbread and candy," Clove said. "This cottage is made of... Oh, man, is that a flower pot full of burritos? I love burritos!"
"This is still a cottage dreamed up by Aunt Tilly," I said. "She likes candy, but she likes regular food more. This would be her idea of a dream getaway."
"It's my idea of a dream getaway, too,"
Landon said, moving closer to the cottage.
"Look, sweetie, there's bacon big enough to wrap yourself in here."
He waggled an eyebrow suggestively. "I'm glad you're feeling better."
"Me too."
I followed him, keeping close. My eyes couldn't help but widen as each new garden entree came into view. All of Aunt Tilly's favorites, and most of mine, were here.
Oh, there's pot roast and barbecue ribs and prime rib and a big Thanksgiving turkey, Thistle said. I need to eat.
My mouth watered and my mind went fuzzy as I reached for a fried chicken leg. And then something sounded in the back of my brain. It was a warning. Wait! No one listened. Landon's hands reached for a pinwheel made of bacon slices. It was almost as if he couldn't hear me. Wait! Everyone froze, hands outstretched, eyes glassy. The food is cursed, I said. We can't eat it.
I'm not sure I care, said Sam, rubbing his hands over the top of a glazed ham as though he was about to propose to it.
You're going to care if it prolongs how long we're in here, I said. In the story, the candy is drugged. That means this food is probably drugged. Can't eat it.
I'm so hungry, though, Clove whined.
It's not as though we're starving here, I said. We ate at the inn a few hours ago. We stuffed ourselves silly. We can't eat this. I turned to Landon, pleading. We can't. Landon found the control he was missing and stepped away from the bacon.
Bay is right. We can't eat this.
Speak for yourself, Thistle said, reaching for a hamburger daisy and plucking it from the stem.
Aunt Tilly loves food. She's not going to poison it, even in a book. She would consider that sacrilegious.
I'm with Thistle,
Marcus said, grabbing a bouquet of French fried posies and taking one from the center.
Going to be good. It's going to be fine.
He popped one of the fries in his mouth, chewing enthusiastically.
See? That's good enough for me,
Thistle said, biting into the hamburger.
I knew Aunt Tilly wouldn't poison the food. Some things are forever, and that's exactly what Aunt Tilly's love of food is.
Marcus reached for a second French fry, but before he could pop it into his mouth, he tilted forward and crashed to the ground, his bouquet of fries scattering across the green grass. Thistle swallowed hard, her gaze falling on Marcus.
What just happened? Did he pass out because he was so hungry?
Thistle barely got the words out before she dropped her burger and fell to the ground next to Marcus. I stormed over to them, checking them both to make sure they had a pulse, and then straightened. Does anyone else want to eat the food?
I think I just lost my appetite, Sam said.
Me too,
Clove said, horrified.
Are they alive?
They're sleeping, I said. I rubbed my forehead and glanced at Landon. Are you okay?
You saved me,
he said, breaking into a wide grin.
Maybe you're the prince.
That's gonna make our sex life really creepy, I pointed out.
You're right,
Landon conceded.
You can be a modern princess. I'd especially like it if you ditched the frilly dresses and embraced the latex.
I couldn't help but smile. It didn't last long, but it felt good. We have a new problem, obviously, I said, gesturing toward Marcus and Thistle's prone bodies. Now we have to solve this story to get those two back on their feet.
I don't know what I remember about this story,
Landon said.
My mother wasn't big on fairy tales. Doesn't a witch live in that cottage?
Yes, she jogs the candy, or in this case, burgers and fries, and then captures the children so she can eat them.
Nice, Landon said. If I hadn't already lost my appetite, that would have pretty much killed it. How does the witch in the story die? Sam asked.
The kids turn the tables on her when she's not looking and push her in the oven and roast her alive, I said.
Have you ever considered how violent these stories are?
Clove asked, wrinkling her nose.
I mean, think about it. The wolf tries to eat Little Red Riding Hood. The witch poisons Snow White. This witch tries to eat children. It's really pretty awful.
It is, I agreed. We don't have time to talk about that now, though. If you want to debate the merits of fairy tales, I'll be happy to do it for hours on end, over pizza and chocolate martinis, once we're back in the guest house.
We have to go in the cottage, right?
Landon asked. We do, I said.
Are we all going?
Chloe was nervous again.
I think that only two of us should go. That way someone will be out here to watch Marcus and Thistle, and if the first couple fails, there will be another couple to save them.
She was so transparent. I'm guessing you want to be the one to watch over Thistle and Marcus.
I'm more nurturing, so that probably makes sense.
I rolled my eyes until they landed on Landon. Do you want to kill a witch with me?
Sure,
he said.
It might be a nice way to get out some of my aggression so I don't really murder Aunt Tilly when we get out of here.
Let's go, I said, gesturing toward the door. I want to get this over with, mainly because I want to make sure Thistle admits I was right and she was wrong.
That's a beautiful trait, sweetie,
Landon said, pressing his hand against the small of my back as he ushered me toward the cottage.
It really turns me on.
Are you joking?
Actually, I'm not, Landon said. If you toss in a little dance while you do the I'm Right song, I'll reward you with a romantic dinner at the seafood restaurant of your choice when we get out of this.
Really?
All the crab legs you can eat.
I really do love that you get me, I said. He kissed my cheek quickly.
Me too. Come on. Let's fry a witch.
He snorted.
We should start making a list of the things I say tonight. They could make a really funny book.
I'll try to remember. I raised my hand to knock and then thought better of it. I'm thinking we should use the element of surprise here. What do you think?
Let's break the law, baby.
I turned the handle quietly, carefully pushing the door open. A cursory glance around the room told me that this witch had horrible taste. It was as though she had a subscription to Better Homes and Gardens, and instead of picking one theme, she picked every theme and crammed it into the same room. This witch was a crazy hoarder. At least I didn't see 100 cats. That would have made the situation worse.
This is unbelievably tacky, Landon said.
Shouldn't you have been tipped off by the potluck yard?
That was beautiful.
The sound of footsteps on the hardwood floors grabbed our attention. The woman who walked into the room was dressed in a hideous floor-length Victorian gown, a high-lace neck covering her throat. Her gray hair was piled on top of her head, and other than some unnaturally saggy skin, she looked relatively normal.
You must be... Landon broke off, unsure. Do I just call you Mrs. Witch?
Who are you, and what are you doing in my house? I couldn't contain my surprise when I recognized the woman. It had been years since I had seen her. The last time was at a summer camp when she came to pick up her nasty granddaughter, Rosemary. That was 14 years ago, though. It just couldn't be. Aunt Willa? Do I know you? The woman seemed surprised by my recognition.
Who is she?
Landon asked. She's Aunt Tilly's sister.
I thought your grandmother was Aunt Tilly's sister.
She had two sisters, I said.
What happened to the second one? Did she die too?
No, I said. She was just kind of banished from the family. I forced a tight smile onto my face as I regarded my great-aunt, who was, if you can believe it, even worse than the great-aunt who cursed us into a book of children's stories. How are you, Aunt Willa?
I don't know you, Aunt Willa said, crossing her arms over her chest. Why do you keep speaking to me as if you know me?
She's not real, Bay, Landon said. She's not your aunt.
He was right. Instinctively, I knew it. It was so surreal to think about. I cleared my throat. You bear a resemblance to someone I know, I said. I'm sorry for the mistake.
That doesn't explain why you're in my house, Aunt Willa said. When you enter someone's house, you're supposed to knock. There wasn't any knocking. I would have heard it.
We're sorry, Landon said. We got lost in the woods. We're looking for a phone.
A what?
There are no phones here, I said. Actually, we're looking for a glass of water. We're really thirsty.
You expect me to reward you for breaking into my house?
She may have been a figment of Aunt Tilly's colorful imagination, but she was exactly as I remembered her. I'd hated her visits when I was a child, and not only because she always brought my second cousin Rosemary with her. Rosemary was such an awful person. Aunt Willa taught Rosemary how to be evil, and Rosemary had nothing on her beloved grandmother. You're right, I said. We don't deserve water. I glanced around the cottage, my eyes falling on a heavy-looking book.
Get out of my house, Aunt Willa commanded.
Actually, we were hoping you would show us your cottage, Landon said. We're looking to buy a house, and we love this one.
It's not for sale.
We'll offer you a lot of money. Just let us see the kitchen, Landon winked, trying to charm her.
I said no, Aunt Willa said. Now, if you don't get out of my house, you're not going to like what happens.
Are you going to eat us?
All his charm was gone. Now Landon was irritated.
Isn't that what you do? You lure children here with a yard full of yummy goodies? You drug them, you cook them, and then you eat them.
I don't always cook them, Aunt Willa sneered.
Landon made a face.
That's even grosser.
Well, you're out of luck, Aunt Willa said. I only like young meat. You're too old.
We're not here to be eaten, Landon said. We're here to... Bay, do you want to help me out here?
Sure, I said.
What the heck is that?
I practically screamed the question and pointed. When Aunt Willa swiveled to see what I was pointing at, I grabbed the book and brought it down on the back of her head as hard as I could, knocking her out. She tumbled to the floor, landing hard.
That was nice, Landon said. I thought we had to cook her, though.
I was hoping we could bypass that little tidbit, I said. Since she didn't poof into confetti like the wolf, though, I'm guessing we're going to have to play it all out.
Great,
Landon said, hooking Aunt Willa under her arms and grimacing as he lifted her.
Go turn the oven on.
Well, that was the grossest thing I've ever done, I said, wiping my hands on my jeans and moving away from the oven. Let's get out of here.
Don't we have to wait and watch?
I don't think that's necessary, I said, leading Landon from the kitchen and back into the living room. It had taken us almost 20 minutes to load Aunt Willa into the oven. Folding her in there was a lot harder than we thought. After trying 3 different configurations, we finally got her settled and closed the door. Now we waited for the final act to play out. Go look out on the front lawn, I said. I'll keep an eye on the door in case she somehow manages to climb out of there. The second you see Marcus and Thistle get to their feet, bingo.
And you can do your song and dance,
Landon said, laughing. Exactly. Landon gave me a light kiss and shuffled to the door. He leaned out so he could scan the yard.
Not yet.
I turned back to the kitchen, focusing on the oven door, which I could barely see from my vantage point. A loud bang reverberated from the adjacent room. I could only hope that wasn't Aunt Willa coming to in the oven.
They're moving,
Landon said. She probably poofed into confetti in there, I said. That's probably what I heard. Landon didn't reply. I turned my attention from the kitchen and found an empty room. The doorway was vacant, and I was alone. Landon? I started moving toward the door, the room dissolving behind me. Once everything was gone, instead of being within walking distance of the familiar brick road, I found myself in a dark room. There was no sign of Landon. Clove and Sam weren't standing on the lawn waiting for Marcus and Thistle to regain their senses. I was really and truly alone. I jumped when I heard the sound of voices, hoping everyone else was transported here with me.
Cinderella!
Oh, crap, I said. Why me?
No one can make you do something you don't want to do unless you let them. Except me. Always do what I tell you to do. I'm always right, and you'll regret it if you cross me.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 12. Landon, I hissed, scanning the dimly lit room and trying to hold off the settling panic. He didn't answer. This isn't helping my abandonment issues, I grumbled, wiping my hand on my hips and frowning as I glanced down. My jeans and t-shirt were gone, replaced by a set of filthy rags that made my skin crawl. It was a dress, barely, tattered at the hem and hanging off my shoulders. A quick look down the bodice told me that bras were apparently banned in this tale. Double crap.
Cinderella!
I pressed my eyes shut, irritation and worry warring for supremacy in my mind. This couldn't be happening. Not only had I been transported into my least favorite fairy tale, I was also the character who was about to be utilized for slave labor. I can't even keep up with my own laundry.
There you are!
The voice was like nails on a chalkboard, and I recognized it instantly when the slim figure stepped into the doorway of the dirty room. I guess it was supposed to be a kitchen, but without a microwave and Keurig, I couldn't be sure.
Have you been hiding here all morning?
My high school nemesis, Lila Stevens, fixed me with a harsh look.
and I had to bite my tongue to keep from unleashing hours of frustration on her. In my head, I knew the character only looked like Lila. It wasn't really her. In my heart, though, I still hated her. It couldn't be a coincidence that Lila was appearing in this specific story.